Have you ever been like so frustrated with people that you just want to pick them up and shake them? Man, I've definitely had one of those days today. Sitting and struggling with some of the different problems that teenagers are going through. And like part of my work, I want and love to be there for kiddos when they're struggling with different things and in the hopes that I can actually make a difference. One of the challenges today, though, that really was standing out to me was the number of times where, as Christians, I think most people have good intentions, but we really screw it up. What I mean by that is just the number of times where I think God gave us a really good model. He gave us a model of what fellowship is supposed to look like. The fellowship is supposed to look like people living their life together. Now, that means that, like today, when I had somebody come and tell me that they are this beautiful, amazing, just incredible young woman, really high IQ, but she's been cutting herself and, you know, engaging in self-harm for basically since the pandemic even began. This is heartbreaking. This is literally gut-wrenching for me to like come across these kinds of cases where somebody is struggling that much, that hard with something. And what they end up with is that when they go to talk to their pastor or they go to talk to somebody in their church, and immediately the knee-jerk reaction on the part of these probably well-intentioned individuals is to try to question the person's faith, try to say they're a bad Christian, try to say they're disappointing God, try to go down this guilt trip road that is just absolutely inexcusable. A lot of times, and I'm putting this out here, I have never been to a church where I felt like it got fellowship right. Now, what I mean by that is fellowship to me is not you show up to a building, play a little music, sing a little song, get a little lecture, or maybe, you know, look at that one verse in the Bible that like you don't remember reading, probably because you've never actually picked up and read your Bible, kind of a scenario. And then you go home, and the whole time while you were sitting in that church, in that pew, you're sitting there still thinking about the fact that you've got all these errands to run. You've got these other chores that need to be completed. You were just sitting and screaming at your kids before you even walked in the building because little Johnny slapped little Susie and little Susie couldn't find her shoes and you didn't know where the keys were and you didn't even walk in the building with some kind of a sense of peace. I hate to break it to you. This may come as a surprise. And for those of you that this might be an emotional trigger, sorry, but not sorry. Nobody, I'll say that again, nobody has their crap together. There's not a single person that was going to walk into that building that day and actually be perfect. In fact, the whole point of fellowship is really designed to allow people to lean into one another and literally share the fact that you're going through crap. I would love to be in a church where when I walked in the door, the pastor or deacon or elder or whoever's up at the front shares a little something of, hey, this is Joe and Jim Smith, and they're going through this, and it's a bit of a struggle. Is anyone else going through that right now? Hey, I just want to connect you guys. We want to pray over you. We want to talk about this sort of thing. What can we do as Christians? How as a church can we help you? That to me, that's fellowship. This young lady is struggling. She didn't need somebody else's judgment. She already felt bad enough. She feels bad every time she cuts herself. What she needs is compassion. She needs love. She needs somebody to sit and show her that it's a physiological thing. Addiction is a problem. And if somebody's been cutting that long, it really is an addiction. It's not something that you can just like, hey, why don't you just stop being sad? It doesn't work like that. This is a medical problem. This is a neurological, physiological response. And as a guy with tattoos and a history of trauma, I got to tell you, some of these pieces are really relatable. I got my own body image issues. I'm fluffy. You know, I don't know about you, but I've struggled with food addictions. I've had problems trying to understand, why did I need the donut? I didn't really want the donut, but I was feeling like crap today. And like the donut gave me 30 minutes of like sugar high where I felt good for at least a little while. The same thing's true when you get a tattoo. Part of the fun of the tattoo, for those of you that might be living in mystery, is yes, somebody's jabbing a series of needles into your arm for an explicitly wonderful period of time. You're sitting there in a chair while somebody holds you down and like draws these beautiful ink-driven images that are hopefully a reflection of who you feel like you are into your skin in such a way that like the first few minutes you're like, I'm gonna die. And then after that, it starts to like engage a portion of your brain that releases dopamine, serotonin, all these beautiful endorphins that help make things feel better. It's very much like that. Those addictions feed this physiological response, and eventually your body gets addicted to those responses. It doesn't make you perfect, but for just a little while, maybe in the midst of your depression or your anxiety, or heck, you're just having a crap day. You just wanted to feel anything else. It's not that you want to end your life. It's just that you're so overwhelmed with everything else that's going on. You just want something different. Now, I got to tell you, this little kiddo, she was breaking my heart because it wasn't the fact that she was cutting that bothered me. It was the problem of the way that so many people had just tried to be quote unquote helpful. If you're judging a kiddo who's telling you, I've got a problem, you're wrong. Don't do that. You got to love on them. They are stuck in a cycle and they're asking for help. They don't need the judgmental nonsense. What they need is support. They need people to reach out, hold their hand, give them a hug, walk with them, talk with them, listen to them. They may or may not know what they need, but if they don't think that there's a safe alternative to include you just listening to them when they're in the midst of being triggered by something or totally just face to face with a series of fears and anxieties that they cannot handle, then you are not being a good Christian witness. Not to mention, you're not being a good friend. You're not being a good teacher. You're not being a good Christian. I don't want you to judge them. I want you to love them. So many people think that God gives a flying fart about whatever ceremony or how you prayed or whatever else you got going on in your life. I am here to tell you, he doesn't care. He wants a relationship with you. And what most people get hung up on, the just absolute at the highest level, they sit and think that God's not going to love them until they get their act together. That's a lie. God's not going to want them in that church unless they've got their, you know, life all put together in this beautiful little package. It's a lie. People think that God maybe is a genie in a bottle. He's not. He's a creator of the universe. He's a plan for you. He's got this whole system designed and laid out, but there are rules. Once you learn the rules, life gets a little bit better. End of the day, he wants that relationship. He doesn't care about your religion. In fact, most of the time, Jesus, while he was on earth, was making fun of most of the religious people, quote unquote, that were around. He mocked them. He just thoroughly put them in their place. And if you've never really read the New Testament, I promise you, there are so many examples where he sat there and just roughed people up. What I want to convey at the end of the day, and I'm going to try to keep this short, is God loves you. When he talks about a relationship, understand that it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have a crap day. And it's okay to gripe and moan to him. There's only one character in the whole Bible that, like most rabbis and Old Testament scholars, will tell you that not many people actually like. And it might surprise you. It was Noah. They had a problem with Noah, and I have a problem with Noah because he's the only one who didn't negotiate. Everybody else argued with God. Everybody else acted as if there was this living, breathing relationship between them and the creator of the entire universe, except for Noah. In fact, you can even see the insult about Noah when you read in Genesis, and it says, he was the best of his generation. Oh my gosh! Not the best of his people, not the best of his lineage or anything else, just his generation. That meant that like everybody else just sucked, okay? Not to mention, God just said, hey, build a boat, I'll bring all the animals. And he's like, okay. And that's what he did. He didn't argue about it. Why? Why are you wiping off all the other people on the planet? Why can't we negotiate on like how many we save? Is there room for a few more? Relationships mean that it's okay to get grumpy about stuff. Relationships mean that you can have bad days with somebody. Relationships mean that you will share both your joy and your pain. If you don't understand that, maybe you need to go back and revisit what you think a relationship is all about. Now, this young lady, I'm looking forward to working with her in the hopes that we can help her find some healthier alternatives to what she's choosing to do right now. But maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't understand how maybe trauma in your life is triggering you. Maybe you're somebody who's struggling with the whole idea that mommy didn't love you or said bad things about you, or daddy didn't love you, he did bad things to you. I promise you, I've been there. And I didn't become a Christian until later on in life. But when I did become a Christian, one of the things that like stood out to me, it was one of those things that I wasn't going to become one unless I knew why I believed what I believed. That is made all the difference in the world. Folks, if you're struggling today, if you don't understand how your body can betray you, how physiology, neurology, genetics, epigenetics, how trauma has an impact on your body, and how your faith may be challenged by the way that you handle things and maybe the way you look at things, I hope you stick around. I hope that you will come back and listen to this crazy old doctor and some of my crazy stories. But what I also hope more than anything else is that if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, please, please consider getting to know him. Open up your heart to that idea. I'm not here to judge you. It is nobody's job to judge you. I assure you, I don't want that job, and neither does anybody else, really. But what we do want is for you to know that you are loved, for you to understand that there is a plan, and even if you're in the worst part of the plan right now, there is light at the end of that tunnel. So may God watch over you. May he bless you. May he comfort you. Until next time.